We head to our orthopedic clinic phone line where we welcome on Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer, kind enough to take some time out of his day to join us here on this Tuesday. Ferg, as always, we appreciate the time. How are things with you?
I'm doing all right. How are y'all?
Doing very well. So, of course, this Auburn basketball team had an intense week of basketball last week, beginning in Knoxville with that Tennessee game and then culminating with a nice win against Mississippi State, a team they lost to earlier in the year. Just recap that week for us of Auburn basketball, Ferg, and what you made of it long term, or just what it meant for the team.
Yeah, I thought last week against Tennessee, they played a great game. They just ran into Dalton Connect on probably his best night of the season. Auburn played pretty well on offense. They shot the ball well, moved it well. You know, had some turnovers early, but they tied that up in the second half. Had made a run, and it was just Dalton Connect wasn't going to miss, and Auburn just didn't have much of an answer for it. And that's going to happen sometimes. And the good news is there's not very many other Dalton Connects out there in the world that can do that, especially in college basketball. And then, you know, they get the quick turnaround on Saturday against Mississippi State, and the questions are, okay, you know, can they make the switch? You know, how are they going to hold up? State's already beaten them once. State's a team that's been pretty tough here recently. And Auburn just leads wire to wire. Only briefly was Auburn not up by double digits in that game. And, I mean, they're shooting the lights out right now. This Auburn team, over the last five games, leads the country in three-point shooting, which I think has surprised a lot of people, especially considering several of these games have been on the road away from home. And they're continuing to play elite defense. I thought the first half defense against Mississippi State was phenomenal, and Josh Upper got loose a little bit there in the second half, but it really didn't matter. So it was a big win, huge win, and now you're heading into a week where everybody else in the league's having to really kind of fight and scratch and claw towards the end. And I'm not saying these two games are going to be easy, but you get Missouri and Georgia. These are two quad three games where everybody else has at least one or two quad one games up near the top of the SEC. So it's taking care of business. You'd have loved to have the win at Tennessee. You know, it didn't happen, but yeah, they bounced back from that disappointment, and they're in a really good position to finish well and be playing their best basketball heading into the postseason, which is the ultimate goal for everything.
Justin, you talked about how good this team has been shooting the ball, and going back and looking at some of the previous games, I think if there was one knock on this Auburn team, it was the play of the guards. Well, they seem like they have been really stepping it up. If you could talk about the guard play and just how much better they've been playing over these last few games.
Yeah, no, they've been playing exceptionally well, I think. You look at Auburn, you look at Denver Jones. Well, Denver Jones had probably his best game of the year on Saturday against Mississippi State, not only shooting the ball like he did, but he did a great job on Josh Hubbard. I wrote about it earlier this week in the film of the Observer. Josh Hubbard only hit one shot when Denver Jones was on him, and it was very late in the game. So he played really, really well. Trey Dawson had a bounce back game. He'd kind of been having some down moments here recently. And then he had six assists, you know, no turnovers. Real awesome, clean game from him. Thought Aiden Holloway didn't shoot the ball, but he played well. And you know, he's coming, you know, that Georgia game a couple weeks ago, shot the ball exceptionally well in that game. So, you know, Katie Johnson continues to be pretty steady. And then if you look into the small forward spot, Chad Baker-Mazar continues to do Chad Baker-Mazar things now in the starting lineup. So, I mean, Auburn's guard play is playing really well. Not a ton of experience at point guard, and there's some kind of variance there, but when they're on, they're really, really good. And I think if Denver Jones continues to play like the level he has these last couple of weeks, Auburn's got a pretty formidable backcourt heading into the postseason, because we know, you know, how strong that frontcourt is. The backcourt's really living up to their end of the deal as well.
Ferg, not a secret how bad this Missouri team has been so far this year, winless in the SEC. How concerned should fans be that this is a trap game, and how does Auburn avoid something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Missouri's going to play a competitive game. You know, I would be surprised if Auburn just came in here and blew the doors off of them, because really only a couple teams have done that this year in Columbia. Tennessee, I mean, was losing most of the game a couple weeks ago against Missouri. So, I would not rule anything out of being like this could be a tight game. Missouri plays hard. They're 0-16 in league play. They play better than an 0-16 team. And I know that sounds kind of stupid to some people out there listening, but, like, if you look at the way they play and the stats they put up, you know, they're much better. This is like, you know, there was an 0-18 team a couple of years ago with Vanderbilt. that Vanderbilt team was atrocious. And obviously Darius Garland, like I heard that year, and everything kind of went off from there. But this Missouri team's solid. I mean, I think in terms of, you know, their overall production this year, on a game-by-game basis, they just look more like, you know, they're more like Vanderbilt than, like, you know, this year's Vanderbilt team than the Vanderbilt team of a few years ago. So Auburn should win, obviously. And I think the big thing here is Missouri's one of the worst rebounding teams in the country. You look at Jahni Broome playing well. You look at Jalen Williams getting back to 100%. You look at the way Auburn's been able to work in the front court. They've got a clear front court advantage in this matchup. The guard play for Mizzou is what's going to keep them in it or leave them out. And for Auburn, it's can you defend well enough against those experienced guards? They got some shooters. They got some dudes who are going to hang them in the game. They got a lot of seniors at senior night. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a competitive game. This Missouri team just doesn't really get blown out a ton. But if there is one team who could come in here and say, well, we'll blow you out, it's Auburn, because every time they win, they blow a team out. So, here's the thing. It's a road game in the SEC. You just saw Tennessee struggle with this team a couple weeks ago. So, you know, don't be surprised if Auburn has a real fight on its hands here. It's a long trip. It's a quick turnaround, and Missouri hasn't thrown in the towel yet.
When you're looking at games like this with teams that are clearly – when the road team's clearly better than the home team and that sort of thing, how much do you buy into the importance of a quick start to attempt to kind of demoralize the team that's trying to pull off the upset?
Oh, it's huge, and I think it's the reason why, and Bruce Pearl's even said this, it's the reason why they've changed up their lineup and they've changed up their rotation over the last couple of weeks. Chad Baker-Mazzara coming into the starting lineup does weaken Auburn's bench, but they're looking at it from the perspective of, if you want to beat good teams, especially away from home, you got to get off to good starts. And, well, in the postseason, you're pretty much going to play nothing but good teams, and they're all going to be away from home. So you're getting some of that. We saw them get off to a really good start against Georgia. We saw them get off a really good start against Mississippi State. Obviously, that was at home on Saturday. That would be big. If they come in and kind of punch Missouri early, get off to a good lead, I don't think Missouri is going to fold completely. I'd be surprised if they do because, you know, Ole Miss got up big on them in the first half on Saturday night. They came back and made a game of it in the second half. But it would just make this game a whole lot more comfortable for Auburn if they do that. So I think, you know, it's offense. And for Auburn, it's got to hit those shots and make those plays. I do think in this game, though, with the way that Missouri's kind of built, you could see Auburn get off to a good start and a good offensive start, maybe without having to really worry about their three-point shooting. Like, if they can hit threes early, it's great, you know, keep that going because they're playing really, really well in that area. But I do think this could be a big Jahni Broome and Jalen Williams game just because it's more of a mismatch in the front court than they are. They've got size. They just don't have a ton of production up front.
And, Ferg, obviously a tough day for Auburn Saturday in that they lost Lior Berman to the torn ACL out for the season. What has the team kind of said about that loss, and just what did he mean to Auburn?
Yeah, I mean, they're heartbroken about it, right? You know, you come off a couple weeks ago having a similar injury scare with Jalen Williams, and I think Auburn was hoping, like, okay, maybe it's something like that again. And instead they get the bad news that it's an ACL tear and he's done. He's a fifth-year senior. It's over. The good news for Lior Berman is it was just an ACL tear. It was clean. He should be able to get back to basketball here in the next year. And, you know, Bruce Pearl talked about him starting his career overseas coming up. But it's a brutal break because this is a guy who had worked really, really hard over the last few years to get himself into this position, worked hard this season to get into the rotation. He had been giving Auburn a spark on offense at that three spot. I had replaced Chris Moore in the rotation because of it. And it's brutal because it's the end of your senior season and you're not going to be – like, he was going to have a chance to play in March and play the tournament. You're not going to get that. And it's tough. And this, you know, Lior Berman's meant a lot in Auburn basketball because for the entirety of his career, for the most part, I would say, when Auburn has practiced and when that Auburn's been getting ready for a game, they have gotten ready for a game with Lior Berman being the other team's best player on the, you know, scouting them. And you don't have that anymore, and you had that for several years. And I think one of the things that makes this Auburn basketball team so good is that they scout and they prep well game to game better than most teams in college basketball. And Lior Berman was a big part of it. So it's a big blow. I mean, obviously, not a guy who scores a ton of points, plays a ton of minutes, But as somebody who meant a lot for this program, it's tough. And you can tell players and coaches alike are really bummed out about, you know, what happened to him.
Talking to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer today on Sports Call. A couple more for you, Ferg. Lastly, on basketball, I think we probably ask some version of this each and every year, but as it pertains to the SEC tournament, obviously Auburn could be anywhere from 2, 3, 4, 5 seed, just depending on what happens this last week with themselves and some other teams. Do you have a big preference on if Auburn is a double bye team or not? Just how do you think about the SEC tournament in terms of the bye system and that sort of thing?
I think you want to be a double bye team because it's just one less game you'd have to play if you go on a run. It's interesting, since the SEC went to a double bye system, and the way that this all set up with the expansion of the league, there's only two teams ever who have been outside of the double bye, who didn't get a double bye and made it to the title game. It was the Auburn team that went all the way to the Final Four, and then it was the Texas A&M team a couple years ago who went all the way to the title game, beat Auburn in that quarterfinal game, didn't make the tournament off of that. But that's it. You know, like, if you want to have a chance to win a title in Nashville, you gotta have a really good chance. You know, you usually have to be a double bye team. I think the way the bracket may shake out this year, that if you're the 5, it's not the end of the world, because you'd have some favorable matchups there, but you'd have to play a day early, you'd have to play one more game. I think you want to get it. I think you want to maximize your spots as much as possible. I also think the SEC tournament, it's fun. It's a great weekend. It's not going to really matter a ton. You know, if you can win it, great. That's a banner. That's momentum. That's a lot of stuff you can be happy about. If you lose, it's really not going to hurt you a ton. The hay is mostly in the barn already when it comes to your NCAA tournament seeding, your resume to that point. The body of work's been complete. So next week, I think it's good, obviously, for Auburn to go and play well in Nashville. But, you know, it's not something that they have to, like, live and die on like some other teams might to try to get into the tournament.
Ferg, just switching over real quick to some Auburn football recruiting. A few days ago, news came out, Antonio Coleman flipping from Auburn to Alabama. 4-star defensive lineman for that 2025 class. It didn't really seem like many people were surprised by that flip. Were you surprised by it? How big of a loss is this to the 2025 class, and where does Auburn go from here?
Yeah, I mean, Antonio Coleman, I think, was a guy that Auburn really wanted, obviously. He's a really talented player. He flipped from Alabama already, you know, so it's already one of those things where it's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, you lost a kid to Alabama. Well, he was already committed to Alabama at one point. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's some big sudden thing. I think it was just kind of some uncertainty and some instability at Alabama. And then with Saban retiring and the changeover and all that, you know, they're able to kind of get back in with him under this new staff. It's a loss, obviously, but Auburn's got a lot of good targets on the board, especially in state. Defensive line is an area where they've recruited really, really well already in this 25 class. So they're going to be fine. It was one of those things. Didn't take a ton of people by surprise. And, Auburn, there's still a lot of ball game left when it comes to getting really good talented kids. You'd love to have them, but you can understand why, you know, once the dust kind of settled in Alabama, he might be a little bit more interested in flipping over there.
He's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. Ferg, as always, we certainly appreciate the time. What can all of our listeners find at the Observer here in the coming days?
You can check out preview I had today from the Missouri game. There's some bracketology updates in there. So I think it's like 50-something projections. You kind of run in the mouth. So if you want to know what Auburn's kind of feeling right now heading into the postseason, you can check that out. The film room on Denver Jones up earlier this week. You can read that. We'll have a mailbag later this week, podcast as well. I'm almost in Columbia right now, so I'll be at the game tonight. I'll have coverage of that tomorrow at the Observer. So plenty of stuff going on. AuburnObserver.com, sign up there.
He's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer with us today on Sports Call. Again, Ferg, we certainly appreciate the time. We wish you safe travels, and we look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.